Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Heat Blast continues through the weekend by Stuart Doreen. The run of 100-degree high temperatures in Midland is expected to continue through at least Sunday, according to the National Weather Service. The NWS reported an expected high temperature of 103 degrees on Friday, followed by another two triple-digit days on Saturday and Sunday, 101 and 100, respectively. Currently, 2023 is second to only 2011 for the year with the most 100-degree high temperatures in Midland's history. The 100-degree high temperature on Thursday was the 55th this year. Thursday's report, Thursday's high, 100 degrees. Typical high for September 7th, 90 degrees. Thursday's low, 75 degrees. Typical low for September 7th, 67 degrees. Previous high for September 7th, 102 degrees, set in 2012. The last 3 days, Tuesday, 106, Wednesday, 101, Thursday, 100. The next 3 days, Friday, 103, Saturday, 101, Sunday, 100. The most 100-degree days in Midland. 2011, 65 days. 2023, 55 days. 1964, 52 days. 1998, 51 days. City. Fire Chief to Oversee Animal Services, Health, by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland has unveiled a new organizational chart, and changes include that the Chief of the Midland Fire Department will now oversee Animal Services, the Midland Animal Shelter, and the Health Department. Fire Chief Chuck Blumenauer is now a Managing Director under the Public Safety portion of the City Organizational Chart. Blumenauer will still manage the Midland Fire Department, as well as Animal Services and the Health Department. The change is notable in that Animal Services has dealt with high-profile incidents, including the release of an Animal Services Director this year, the killing of animals because of improper practices by employees, and the death of at least one animal before an owner could come to the Midland Animal Shelter and pick up the animal. Tina Jouse is the Assistant City Manager over Public Safety. The Midland Police Department is also under the Public Safety banner. Blumenauer is not the Managing Director of MPD and reports to Jouse. Other changes to the organizational chart include that Deputy City Manager Morris Williams Jr. will oversee internal services. That includes administrative services, information technology, finance, and strategic communication. Lastly, Jose Ortiz has been promoted to Assistant City Manager and will oversee development and quality of life. The former Engineering Director will now oversee Engineering, Community Services, Development Services, Utilities, Solid Waste, and the City's Capital Improvement Program. Carl Crego also will become a new Managing Director. Under the Development and Quality of Life banner, Crago will be the Managing Director of Utilities, Solid Waste, and the Capital Improvement Program and will report to Ortiz. All Deputy and Assistant City Managers still report to City Manager Tommy Gonzalez, who reports to the Midland City Council. The City has not yet responded to an interview request about the recent changes. Midlander Charged with Intoxication Assault by Mercedes Cordero. A 55-year-old Midland man was arrested Monday after his involvement in a wreck that injured a motorcyclist, according to court documents. Midland Police Department officers were dispatched Monday at about 10:18 p.m. to an accident with a motorcycle that occurred at the intersection of Andrews Highway and West Texas Avenue. The complaint stated that a motorcycle was struck by a silver van that left the scene. The motorcyclist was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital for his injuries, according to the arrest affidavit. Officers were able to get the vehicle's plates from the complaint and found an address for the vehicle. An officer went to the address and found a silver Dodge Caravan with significant damage to the passenger side and multiple airbags deployed, according to the arrest affidavit. The officer observed an open alcoholic beverage in the center console and shredded debris from the airbag deployment. The hood also felt warm to the touch, according to the arrest affidavit. The officer made contact with Mark Ivan Gomez, who was inside the residence. When asked if he had been driving the vehicle, Gomez stated no one had been driving it. The officer stated that a vehicle with matching license plates was seen being driven by several witnesses moments before. Gomez admitted he was the operator of the vehicle and left the scene. A blood search warrant was executed at Midland Memorial Hospital after Gomez denied consent to both a breath or blood sample. Gomez was being held Thursday in Midland County Jail for intoxication assault with a vehicle, causing serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony charge. Bond was set at $50,000. Paxton's defense includes claims of Republican plot by Jake Bleiberg and Paul Weber. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has long denied corruption accusations that have dogged him for years. But as his impeachment trial gets underway, another defense is emerging, that fellow Republicans plotted to oust him. His attorneys have so far presented no evidence in the trial, which continued Thursday, that Paxton was the victim of an attempt to replace him. But his former aides give testimony about how Paxton pressured them to help a political donor who was under FBI investigation. Paxton's attorneys have raised questions about lobbyists and a meeting at Governor Greg Abbott's office, and have brought up George P. Bush, who lost to Paxton in last year's Republican primary. It was not a mutiny, Ryan Bangert, one of Paxton's former aides, testified Thursday about a group of deputies who reported their boss to the FBI in 2020. We were protecting the interest of the state and protecting the interest of the Attorney General, and in my view, signing our professional death warrant at the same time. The start of the trial is putting into view how lawyers for Paxton, who has been shadowed by criminal charges and an ongoing FBI investigating for years, intend to defend one of Texas's most powerful figures. Paxton has pleaded not guilty to the articles of impeachment, which center on accusations of bribery and abuse of office. The waving at a broad conspiracy is an extension of how Paxton has spent months denouncing his impeachment by the Republican-controlled House in May as a politically driven attack by Democrats and rivals within his own party. It is a message amplified by his supporters on the far right, who for years have cheered on Paxton as he elevated his national profile by trying to help former President Donald Trump baselessly overturned the 2020 election and through lawsuits against President Joe Biden's administration. The people Paxton need to ultimately convince are Republican senators serving as the jury. A two-thirds majority, or 21 senators, is required for conviction, meaning that if all 12 Democrats vote against Paxton, at least 9 Republicans would have to join them. As the trial began this week, 6 Republicans voted repeatedly in favor of dismissing the articles of impeachment. Paxton could be barred from office if he is convicted. He has not been in the Texas Senate for any of the testimony. He is not required to attend all of the proceedings and cannot be compelled to testify. At the center of the case are accusations that Texas's top lawyer wrongfully used his power to help Austin real estate developer Nate Paul, a political supporter who was indicted this summer on charges of making false statements to banks. Jeff Mateer, who was Paxton's former second-in-command, testified Wednesday that after going to the FBI on September 30, 2020, he and other deputies had a meeting with the governor's office. On cross-examination, Paxton attorney Tony Busby asked Mateer about whether he had communicated with Bush, the former Texas land commissioner who unsuccessfully challenged Paxton in last year's Republican primary. He also asked whether Mateer was staging a coup. Mateer replied, absolutely not. Abbott spokeswoman Renee Essie said Paxton's aides asked to meet with senior staff at the governor's office and that the deputies were told to talk to Paxton. Essie said in an email that Abbott's office was not part of any coordinated effort against Paxton and that the deputies did not say what they wanted to discuss. Bush, who had been the only member of the Bush dynasty still in elected office before losing to Paxton, filed to renew his law license the day after Mateer and other aides reported their boss to the FBI. Busby provided no evidence that Bush had communicated with any of Paxton's accusers, and Mateer said he's never spoken to Bush. Obituaries and death notices. Bobby Lee Sharp. Bobby, Bob Sharp, 90, of Midland, Texas, went to meet his Lord and Savior on September 3, 2023, at his home with his family by his side. Bobby was born in Gladewater, Texas, to Lee Verner Sharp and Mildred Allen Carey Sharp on August 22, 1933. Bob was married to Betty Reynolds Stone for 58 years, and they had three daughters: Lisa Bounds of Midland, Nancy Johnson of Midland, and Rebecca Arbor of Fort Worth. Bob also had eight grandchildren and one great-grandchild. Funeral services were held at 3 p.m. Friday, September 8, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. The family will hold a private graveside service at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family request you prayerfully make a donation that would make a difference in someone's life to either Hardin Simmons University Golf Team, 2200 Hickory, Abilene, Texas, 79698, or Reflection Ministries of Texas, P.O. Box 52371, Midland, Texas, 79701. Tammy K. Webb. Tammy K. Webb, age 62, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord September 4, 2023, with her family and friends at her side. She was born July 22, 1961, to Walter Carter and Karen K. Robertson Carter in Topeka, Kansas. She is preceded in death by parents Walter and Karen Carter, as well as the love of her life, Fred Webb. Left to cherish Tammy's memory are her daughters Rebecca Mankowski, Angel Davis, Teresa Ellis, Kimberly Judkin, and son Michael Scoff, Terry Jones, and stepson Randy Webb. Sisters Lori McNeil, Marla Mullis, brothers Michael Solano, and numerous grandchildren, cousins, extended family, and friends. Cremation services have been arranged in keeping with Tammy's wishes. Arrangements are under the direction and care of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. David Stanley Wallace. David Stanley Wallace passed away peacefully on Thursday, September 7, 2023, at 87. Stanley was born on April 28, 1936, at his grandparents' home in Midland County. He was the oldest of four children of Jess and Sue Wallace. Stanley is preceded in death by his wife, Mary Dell Wallace, brother Jesse James Wallace, and brother Bobby Dale Wallace. He is survived by his wife, Linda Mitchell of Midland, son David, son Joe, and seven grandchildren. Viewing will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 9th, 2023, with a funeral to follow at 1 o'clock at Frank Wilson Funeral Home in Odessa. Graveside will follow at Rest Haven in Midland, Texas. Paul Wesley Wilkerson. Paul Wesley Wilkerson, 66, of Odessa, Texas, passed away Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, in Odessa. Celebration of Life was held at 10 a.m. September 8th, 2023, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Loreen Spear. Loreen Spear of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully in her home on the morning of Sunday, September 3rd. Loreen Adele Sarankiewicz was born in Three Hills, Alberta, Canada, on December 7, 1963, to Henry and Bertha Sarankiewicz. She is survived by her husband, Shane Spear, and sons, Walker Spear and Quinn Spear, her sisters, Neva Bochenek, Sheila Bramlett, and Cheryl Finch. A memorial service was held at Mid-Cities Community Church on Friday, September 8, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. In lieu of flowers, please send memorial donations to Teen Challenge Adult Centers of Texas, a local charity near and dear to Loreen's heart. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
My name is Leah, and today I'll be reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, August 26, 2023. This is a community post. Odessa's store specializes in classic video games. August 25, 2023, by staff report. A new store in Odessa specializes in classic video games. Retro Hall Video Games and Collectibles recently opened at 415 North Grant Street. Store hours are Tuesday through Sunday, 1 through 9 p.m. The business buys, sells, and trades games, and also hosts Friday gaming events. YourBasin.com described owner Zachary Hall as an avid video game collector who began with garage sales and eBay auctions. Honestly, that's my favorite part of this, is just being able to interact with all the people that come in here, Hall said. Check out YourBasin.com's full story on the shop here. Retro Hall presents Game Night at the Copper Rose, 6 to 9 p.m., September 1st, 415 North Grant Avenue, Odessa, Texas, downstairs inside the Copper Rose Building. Free admission. For more information, message Retro Hall on Facebook. Hello, my name is Leah, and I'm reading Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron. August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Hobbs doubles Pudding Cup donation goal ahead of school year. August 16th, 2023, by Mike Aldax. That's a lot of pudding. The city of Hobbs announced that its community more than doubled its goal for annual Pudding Cup donations to the Weekend Hunger Initiative, WHI Hobbs. In total, 9,028 pudding cups were collected during the food drive. The pudding will be included in local children in need's lunches. We have always exceeded our drive goals, but we never doubled it, city officials said. Added, WHI Hobbs said, thanks in huge part to the contributions to WHI Hobbs, children in our local community will be better served, and WHI Hobbs will be able to spend their resources elsewhere to collect the other many supplies they send home with local children. WHI supports school-aged children and their siblings who are enduring food insecurity, and also provides hygiene kits once a quarter with the child's food bag and school supplies with their first food bag of the school year. Visit their website for more info on how to help. www.whihobbs.com. Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm reading from Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Treaty Oak Revival to perform at fundraiser for Midland Kids, August 15th, 2023, by Mike Aldax. 311 Ministries, a nonprofit serving children in the Midland ISD, is inviting residents throughout the Permian Basin to its Concert for Kids fundraiser featuring Treaty Oak Revival and the State Line Band. The concert will take place Thursday, October 5th at La Hacienda Event Center, 12600 Texas 191 in Midland. See the flyer below for tickets and sponsorship information. 311 Ministries works with local schools, friends, businesses, and churches to ensure children in the community enjoy a blessed Christmas. In 2022, over 1,500 children in Midland benefited from 311's Christmas program. Throughout the year, the organization also fulfilled requests for basic needs from school counselors via its Kids in Khakis project. 311 additionally provides donated prom dresses to local young ladies who can't afford one, along with other prom accessories. And this is the flyer. 311's Concert for Kids, October 5th, 2023, La Hacienda. Featuring Treaty Oak Revival, State Line Band opening. $25,000 sponsor. 4 front row premium tables, 6 guests per table, VIP dinner service, multiple banner displays at C4K dinner, company branded koozies for all guests at event, band meet and greet, radio, social media, and billboard advertising as presenting sponsor, logo and event program and 311 website, logo on auction paddles, recognition plaque, 4 beer and 2 cocktail tickets per person. $15,000 sponsor. 3 premium tables, 6 guests per table, prominent logo banner display at C4K event, radio, social media, and billboard advertising, company branded items for all guests at event, logo and event program and 311 website recognition plaque, 2 beers and 2 cocktail tickets per person. $8,000 sponsor. 3 premium tables, 6 guests per table, prominent logo banner display at C4K event, company branded item for all guests at event, logo and event program and 311 website, 2 beer and 2 cocktail tickets per person. $5,000 sponsor. 2 premium tables, 6 guests per table, prominent logo banner display at C4K event, logo recognition and event program, 4 beer tickets per person. $2,500 sponsor. 1 table, 6 guests per table, prominent logo banner display at C4K event, name recognition and event program, 4 beer tickets per person. $800 sponsor, 1 dinner table for 6 guests. $75 sponsor, 1 open seating ticket to C4K dinner. Hi, my name is Leah. And today I'm reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, for August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Animaniacs in Concert Coming to Midland College. August 25th, 2023, by staff report. The leading voice cast of Animaniacs are set to perform Animaniacs in Concert at Midland College on Saturday, September 9th, as part of the Phyllis and Bob Cohen Performing Arts Series. The free show, that is fun for adults and kids alike, will start at 7:30 p.m. at Al G. Langford Chaparral Center at 3600 North Garfield in Midland. The show, which is fun for adults and kids alike, is a zany, animany, and totally insaney performance of world-famous songs from the beloved cartoon series, backed by video projections from equally world-famous animations. General admission seating is free, and tickets are not required. Preferred seating is available for friends of the series and distinguished donors. Contact the Midland College Foundation at 432-685-4526 for more information about these opportunities. Animaniacs in Concert stars the show's original composer, Randy Rogel, and voice talent actor Rob Paulson, who played Yakko and Pinky in Animaniacs, and Raphael and Donatello on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Animaniacs is a Warner Brothers series created and produced by Steven Spielberg. Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Barbie can thank the oil and gas industry for her global success. August 1st, 2023, by Mike Aldax. From fueling her bright pink Chevrolet Corvette, to creating the pink latex paint that colors her magical world, The Smash It Barbie movie is serving as a reminder about the global importance of the oil and gas industry. As folks in the Permian Basin know more than anyone, petroleum products do far more than fuel our cars and homes. They also make the feedstocks used to manufacture chemicals, synthetic rubbers, and plastics that are in nearly everything we use, from critical medical products to toys like Barbie. Barbie wasn't actually born in Malibu. Her story begins with a barrel of oil that is refined from ethylene, which is then used to produce the vinyl plastic pellets that become Barbie's body, says economist Justin Wolfers, professor at the University of Michigan, in a report on economic supply chains. Wolfers adds that Barbie's hair is made of nylon, a petroleum polymer, and that large factories in Asia help assemble her parts before she is packaged and shipped to over 100 countries, again, thanks to products provided by the oil and gas industry. The pink-laden set for the Barbie movie also relied upon petroleum products. According to the organization Flipping the Barrel, the production of pink latex paint involves using petroleum-derived raw materials to create the pigments and additives to give the paint its signature hue and quality. Full post here. Oh, and about Barbie's pink Chevrolet Corvette, you might see more of those pull up to a gas station near you. After the release of the Barbie movie trailer, online automobile marketplaces reported seeing searches for that Corvette model more than double, states the Robb report. Whether it's in Barbie's world or the real world, the oil and gas industry provides the building blocks for the critical energy and products that increase quality of life around the world. Given that the Permian Basin is a world leader in the industry, it would suffice to say that you, too, are living in a Barbie world. Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, for August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Chevron employees prompt volunteerism with nonprofit fair. July 18, 2023, by staff report. 70 nonprofits recently attended a unique fair at Chevron's Midland campus. The nonprofit fair allowed area nonprofits the opportunity to showcase the services they offer and ways that Chevron employees can get involved. The fair was hosted by SOMOS, one of 8 employee networks at Chevron's Midland campus. Employee networks are initiated by employees and formally structured and aligned with Chevron's diversity objectives, values, visions, and strategy. The network offers opportunities for Chevron employees to engage with and give back to its communities. When I learned that members of SOMOS were interested in organizing a nonprofit fair, I knew it was going to be quite an undertaking, said Valerie Acosta, Public and Government Affairs Advisor for Chevron. With more than 900 nonprofits in the area, communication alone was going to be a large task. SOMOS partnered with the United Way of Midland and Nonprofit Management Center of the Permian Basin to invite nonprofits to attend. Attendees ranged from animal rescue to veteran services. Many organizations took time to visit each other's tables and learn more about one another's community efforts. The nonprofit fair provided a much-needed opportunity for engagement with potential volunteers and to connect with fellow nonprofit peers. Our community needs more of these events, said Elaine Paulson, Development Director for Spectrum of Solutions. The more our community members work together, the better we become as a whole. Thank you, Chevron, for recognizing the need. Some nonprofits engaged employees with hands-on activities. Museum of the Southwest, as an example, encouraged attendees to create art at their information table. The Museum of the Southwest was delighted to participate in the nonprofit fair at Chevron. What a great way to educate employees, said Mary Catherine Marshall, Senior Director of Development and Communications for the Museum of the Southwest. It was exciting to engage employees in a quick art project and share the immediate impact that Chevron has made on the museum's mission and programming. We look forward to future events of this sort and seeing Chevron faces on the museum's campus. Seeing more Chevron faces at many different nonprofit organizations is the true driver of the event. Event organizer Omar Cruz said that his involvement with the United Way of Midland inspired the fair. SOMOS has continually helped with the Casa de Amigos organization, said Cruz. I always wanted to expand our efforts, and I got involved with the United Way. I realized there is so much out there that isn't being communicated as much as it should have. I thought of hosting a fair and use our team, Somos, to help organize it so that other Chevron employees and networks could see what Midland has to offer. And that they did. Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, for August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Domino's delivers $10,000 check to Permian Basin Honor Flight, August 21st, 2023, by Mike Aldax. Domino's Pizza franchise recently presented the team at Permian Basin Honor Flight, PBHF, with a $10,000 check to support its ongoing efforts to honor veteran heroes. As we reported in a recent profile, the PBHF is a powerful organization that gifts veterans of World War II and the wars in Korea and Vietnam with all-inclusive three-day trips to Washington, D.C., where they visit the memorials in their honor and are celebrated by their family, friends, and the general public. In May, the PBHF completed its 10th mission, flying out 100 local veterans on a chartered flight. The experience is life-changing for veterans and volunteers alike. Among PBHF's team of volunteer organizers is Cassie Garetti, owner of West Texas Domino's, a regular contributor to PBHF. Garetti took the flight with her veteran father, describing the experience as eye-opening. Her veteran brother also greatly benefited from the experience. The $10,000 raised by Domino's came from multiple West Texas locations during the company's $3 pizza events, according to PBHF. This is on top of the monthly giving from employees within the West Texas franchise, PBHF stated on Facebook. From all of us here at the Permian Basin Honor Flight, we say thank you for supporting our local veterans for a trip of a lifetime they so deserve. To join Domino's in supporting the PBHF's efforts to provide local veterans with the recognition and experience they deserve, visit its website here. Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm reading from the Permian Proud, sponsored by Chevron, August 27th, 2023. This is a community post. Bulldogs raise funds for injured football player Jackson Kidd, August 18th, 2023, by Kathy Chateau. The Bulldog family from Midland High School's football team is raising support via a fundraiser to help recently injured player Jackson Kidd with medical expenses. During a football scrimmage on Saturday, August 12th, Jackson had a helmet-to-helmet collision that fractured his C5 vertebrae, according to his parents' statement on his mother, Crystal Kidd's Facebook page. His parents shared that Jackson went down during the scrimmage and lost feeling in all of his limbs for 5 to 7 seconds, but quickly regained sensation throughout his body. While at first he felt he could continue playing football, he soon realized that was impossible. His family took him to the emergency room, where he received a CT scan and was eventually airlifted to University Medical Center for further care. Fortunately, indications are that Jackson's spinal cord wasn't impacted by the injury, per the statement, but his recovery is ongoing. The kids expressed gratitude in their post, not only to God for watching over Jackson, but also to Coach Fortune, his staff, and the Bulldog football family, and for all who have supported them, including everyone else that came and visited at the hospital, as well as all the players, phone calls, texts, and support from everyone back home in Midland. Thank you, and we love all of you. To help Jackson Kidd continue on his road to a complete and miraculous recovery, the Bulldog family stated on its fundraising flyer that it is collecting monetary donations for him. To donate to help Jackson, Venmo your donation to @JKIDDRecovery. Questions? Email HeidiJLang22@yahoo.com. The fundraising flyer says, OYB, let's back our Bulldog. Jackson Kidd is currently recovering from a fractured C5 vertebrae. He is the true definition of tough edge and guts. To help him continue on his road to a complete and miraculous recovery, the Bulldog family is collecting monetary donations. We love you, Jackson Kidd, and continue to pray for you and your family. To donate, Venmo, @JKIDDRecovery. Questions? Email Heidi, jlang22@yahoo.com.
City hires firm to investigate animal's death. The City of Midland has retained an outside firm to conduct an investigation of an animal euthanized at the Midland Animal Shelter prior to an owner being able to pick it up. The city said the incident took place August 12th. One of a series animal services incidents that has resulted in animals dying or being injured prior to an adoption or planned euthanasia. They include: on June 8th, a bulldog pit bull mix died in the transport compartment on an animal services vehicle. The animal had been in the compartment at least an hour, according to information provided by the City of Midland. Later during the summer, another animal died in the, quote, Sallyport, end quote, area at the shelter. In August, a stray dog that was taken into Midland Animal Services and was discovered to have had chemical burns on its back. The dog, Lily, was later pulled from the shelter by a representative from Fix West, Texas. The August 12th incident involved a dog named Luna, which the city stated, quote, appeared healthy, end quote, when brought in, but was exposed to a respiratory illness inside the shelter and was then put down. Quote, the City of Midland has retained an outside firm to conduct an investigation of the August 12, 2023 incident at Midland Animal Services, end quote, the city offered in a statement. Quote, we take the care of the animals in our facility very seriously, and we are committed to improving our processes where needed, end quote. About Lily. On Friday, Fix West, Texas, announced that Lily, the dog which dealt with chemical burns on its back, is recovering and has been adopted. Quote, we couldn't be more excited for Lily and her new family, end quote, Lily's new owner wrote, as indicated on the Fix West, Texas Facebook page. Quote, she's still got some healing to do, but she's doing it in a home with lots of love, end quote. Fix West, Texas not only pulled Lily from the shelter, but started a fundraising campaign for Lily's treatment. Fix West, Texas Executive Director Karen Patterson reiterated on Thursday that her organization is, quote, here to help the city, end quote. And she hopes there are opportunities for the city to reach out so animal services officials and those from Fix West, Texas can work together. Both entities work with similar budgets, $2.323 million for the Animal Services Division, while Patterson has estimated her organization's budget has climbed to around $2 million. Fix West, Texas reports performing 750 spay or neutering surgeries, 3,200 vaccinations, and 150 adoptions a month. Fix West, Texas will go to the shelter to, quote, pull, end quote, animals, including those scheduled to be euthanized. A Facebook post from August 23rd stated, FWT pulled 8 animals. Quote, we lack leaders who are educated and trained in shelter management, end quote, Patterson said, of the problems happening at animal services. Quote, we fired the one we had without a contingency plan. The city is like a business. If you don't have a backup plan, it is rough, end quote. Patterson was complimentary of New Midland City Manager Tommy Gonzalez and said he is what it will take to employ, quote, people who are educated to run the shelter like the community expects it to be run, end quote. She said his transparent leadership style is something the community values and is, quote, refreshing to see, end quote. Justin Painter to run for Midland County Sheriff. Justin Painter is the third Republican candidate to announce his campaign for Midland County Sheriff. Painter will formally announce his candidacy on September 6th at the Conference Center at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Midland Plaza. The public is invited to attend. Painter is the son of former Midland County Sheriff Gary Painter. Gary Painter was elected as the Sheriff of Midland County in 1985 and held the position for around 30 years until his passing. Those Republicans committed to run for Midland County Sheriff in 2024 include incumbent Sheriff David Kreiner, former Deputy Chief Rory McKinney, and Justin Painter. Commissioner Diane Anderson addresses library books controversy. Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson released a statement Friday afternoon regarding the events Wednesday, when volunteers visited Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch and rounded up books that they deemed obscene for children. Quote, "It has come to my attention that there is a lot of confusion about what happened at the Centennial Library earlier this week and what my overall goal is, so I'd like to provide some clarity. My goal is for books that fall under the control of the Texas Penal Code sections 43.21 to 43.28 be moved to the adult section of the county libraries. By moving these materials to the adult section, if a parent or legal guardian wishes their children to read these materials, that decision is left to the parent. The parent can check out these materials and decide under what circumstances the child can view, discuss, or otherwise handle the content. These materials should not be available to the child on its own volition. On August 14, 2023, Midland County Commissioners passed such a policy regarding the immediate movement of these materials to the adult section of the Midland County Libraries. A meeting scheduled on the 25th was canceled as the library director was late returning to her office. Monday was a court date, and so it was not until Tuesday, August 29th, 2023, I notified the library director that a team of volunteers would be at the Centennial Branch on August 30th, 2023, to help go through the books, as this would be a labor-intensive effort for which the library staff has been unable to handle. The library director and a member of the Library Foundation met with us at the Centennial Library. The director asked us to fill out volunteer forms and record our time at the library. We did that. The library director provided us with two carts upon which to place the books the volunteers thought were age-appropriate for the children's section. The volunteers pulled 32 books, some of which were duplicates, and placed them on the carts provided by the library, and turned them over to the library staff. These books were not moved to the adult section by the volunteers, nor did any volunteers remove or burn any books. While the volunteers worked, I visited with the library director and foundation member for 40 minutes. I then checked on the volunteers and then visited with the library director for another 30 minutes. We discussed that the books pulled would be reviewed by the library staff and me to determine which books are age-appropriate for the children's section and should be moved to the adult section. The final decision on moving such books will be with the Midland County Commissioners. Most importantly, I want to assure the public, and particularly the residents of Precinct 4, that I take my role as county commissioner seriously and that I am committed to upholding the principles of free speech and intellectual freedom. Contrary to any assertions or misconceptions to the contrary, I am not proposing to burn or ban books. Rather, I am dedicated to fostering an environment in our county libraries where diverse ideas and perspectives can flourish. What's up with Midland? The destination. Tejano Thirsty Thursday, September 7th. Friday Night Live, Deserted Busted Radio, September 8th. Karaoke Night, September 14th. Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, September 15th. Open Mic Night, September 21st. Friday Night Live, Von Tez, September 22nd. Tall City Blues Fest, September 23rd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, September 28th. Friday Night Live, Last Child, September 29th. Earth, Body, and Soul, Walk-In Tarot Reading, every Tuesday. Walk-In Reiki Energy Clearing, every Wednesday. Aura Photography, Saturday. Soul Doodling, September 8th. Usi Reiki Level 1 Certification Class, September 10th. Kitchen Witchery, September 29th. Midland Community Theater, Rumors, September 8th through 30th. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, Saturdays. September Fest, September 29th through October 1st. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia, every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run, every Thursday. The Venue at Live Oak, The State Line Band / Chris DeAnda, Thursday. Los Bravos de Oyanaga, September 14th. Sarah Hobbs, September 28th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, West Texas Symphony, September 9th. Joe Coy World Tour, September 14th through 15th. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse Live in Concert, September 20th. West Texas Winds Fall Recital, September 21st. Key of G Live, September 24th. The Book of Mormon, September 27th through 28th. County releases full list of redesignated library books. Midland County released the list of books and volunteers that volunteers deemed obscene for children at the Midland County Library Centennial Branch this week. The volunteers sought to take the books out of sections for children and young adults and move them to adult sections. The Reporter-Telegram has attempted to receive the list of volunteers that were in attendance. On Friday, Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson sent the Reporter-Telegram an email saying that because of, quote, nasty, end quote, comments that were made on a post on the Reporter-Telegram Facebook page from the original story earlier this week, six of the women are afraid of attacks if their names were to be released. While four of the women gave permission to release their name publicly, Anderson said she does not believe it's best to provide their names. Below is a confirmed list of the titles that were taken from the children's and young adult sections of the library and moved to adult sections. The Cat's Pajamas by Daniel Wallace, Sam is My Sister by Rhodes Carter, Quarter, Auntie Uncle Drag Queen Hero by Ellie Royce, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish 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 by Lil Miss Hot Mess, Prince and Knight by Daniel Hawk Rainbow, A First Book of Pride by Michael Genhart, An Awesome Book of Love by Dallas Clayton, and Tango Makes Three by Justin Richardson and Peter Parnell, Maiden and Princess by Daniel Pack and Isabel Galupo, Operation Marriage by Cynthia Chin Lee, Being You, A First Conversation About Gender by Megan Madison, Jessica Raleigh, and Anne Andy Pashier, My Two Dads and Me by Michael Justin, Thomas Snowsuit by Robert Munch, Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram Kendi, Fred Gets Dressed by Peter Brown, Uncle Bobby's Wedding by Sarah Brannan, An ABC of Equality by Chana Janelle Ewan, Stamped for Kids by Jason Reynolds, Ibram Kendi, This Book is Anti-Racist, 20 Lesson on How to Wake Up, Take Action, and Do the Work by Tiffany Jewell, It's Not the Stork, a book about girls, boys, babies, bodies, families, and friends by Roby Harris, Love is Love, an anthology, The League of Super Feminists by Miriam Mall, A Quick and Easy Guide to Consent by Isabella Rotman, The Fire Never Goes Out, a Memoir in Pictures by Noelle Stevenson, Identity, A Story of Transitioning by Corey Mason, How to Be Ace, a Memoir of Growing Asexual by Rebecca Burgess, Flamer by Mike Carrato, Speak, the Graphic Novel by Lori Hulse Anderson, This One Summer by Jillian Tamaki, Mariko Tamaki. FMH Foundation grant to help Fix West Texas open $1.5 million clinic. A $100,000 grant from F. Marie Hall Foundation will help Fix West Texas move forward with a new clinic in West Texas. The nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing the quality of life for the pets will build a 10,000 square foot building at 9507 West County Road 77 near Mid-Cities Church off State Highway 191. The organization's current facility is around 4,000 to 5,000 square feet, officials said. The organization's website states that the facility is expected to cost around $1.5 million. Quote, we are so excited to announce that the FMH Foundation has stepped up in a huge way to help us realize our dream of building a new Fix West Texas clinic so we can better serve our community, end quote. Fix West Texas reported on its Facebook page. Fix West Texas lists as its mission, quote, one in which everyone in our local community agrees will directly lower the animal shelter euthanasia and intake rates of dogs and cats in our West Texas community. We also want to make sure our local pet population is healthy by providing low-cost vaccinations and preventatives, end quote. The new facility will provide more exam rooms, a larger pet pantry, and space that helps FWT to conduct, quote, low-cost veterinary services, end quote. Currently, Fix West Texas performs 750 spay or neutering surgeries a month. The organization appears to be outgrowing its current facility inside Loop 250 in West Midland, 5203 Princeton Avenue, Suite 17. Fix West Texas reports performing around 3,200 vaccinations and 150 adoptions a month. The new space will allow two vets to do surgeries at a time, while current space limits the total number, said Karen Patterson, executive director of Fix West Texas. Patterson hopes construction can begin as early as next month. The organization is still waiting on structural drawings. She expects a groundbreaking in 4 to 6 weeks and that the organization will be able to move in by March 2024. NWS forecast for next week in Midland. Hot. The National Weather Service reported Friday that the temperatures during the first full week of September are set to rise. The NWS is showing high temperatures of 99 through 101 degrees through September 8th. Sunny, hot, and dry conditions are expected through the week. Should Midland hit triple digits twice next week, it will mean 2023 will be by itself in second place for 100-degree days in a year with 53. Friday's report. Friday's high, 99 degrees. Typical high for September 1st, 91 degrees. Friday's low, 68 degrees. Typical low for September 1st, 69 degrees. Recorded high for September 1st, 104 degrees, set in 1959 and equaled in 2014. Last 3 days, Wednesday 93 degrees, Thursday 97 degrees, Friday 99 degrees. Next 3 days, Saturday 99 degrees, Sunday 99 degrees, Monday 101 degrees. Source: National Weather Service. August 2023 misses, quote, warmest month in history, end quote, status. August 2023 will not go down as the warmest month in Midland's history, but it did make the top five. The National Weather Service shows cooler temperatures at the end of the month, sent the average temperature for the month dropping from 88.7 degrees on August 26th to 87.5 degrees at the end of the month. The NWS reported that Midland was hit with a, quote, cold front, end quote, that dropped the average high temperature over the last 10 days to 94.3 degrees. The average low temperature during that period to 71.5 degrees, and the average temperature to 82.9 degrees. Still, August 2023 will go down as the third warmest August on record in Midland, and tied July 2023 as the fifth warmest month on record in Midland, according to the National Weather Service. The average temperature in August was more than 4 degrees higher than normal for the month. The National Weather Service also record, quote, trace, end quote, rainfall, which is the second lowest mark for a month of August in Midland's history. Warmest months in Midland history. July 2016, 88.2 degrees. June 2011, 88.0 degrees. August 2019, 87.9 degrees. August 2011, 87.8 degrees. August 2023, 87.5 degrees. July 2023, 87.5 degrees. Warmest months of August in Midland. 2019, 87.9 degrees. 2011, 87.8 degrees. 2013, 87.5 degrees. 1964, 87.2 degrees. 2020, 85.9 degrees. Note, average monthly temperature for August in Midland is typically 83.2 degrees. Driest months of August, 1936, 0.00 inches, 2023, trace, 2009, 0.03 inch. August weather report, average high 99.9 degrees, average low 75.2 degrees. Average temperature 87.5 degrees, typical average temperature in August in Midland 83.2 degrees. Hottest high temperature 107 degrees on August 9th and August 10th. Coolest low temperature 66 degrees on August 29th and 30th. August rainfall trace, typical rainfall in August 1.72 inches. Source: National Weather Service. Rig count inches lower for eighth week. Drilling activity continued to slump in the final week of August, but the ride down appears to have slowed. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count has issued weekly. It has issued weekly since 1944, dropped by one rig to 631. the 8th consecutive weekly decline, the lowest level since February 2022, and 129 rigs fewer than the 760 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil was unchanged at 512, 84 fewer than the 596 reported a year ago, and the lowest since February 2022. The number of rigs seeking natural gas inched down by one rig to 114, the lowest level since February 2022, and down 48 rigs from the 162 rigs drilling for natural gas a year ago. Texas dropped one rig to see 306 rigs at work across the state, 56 fewer than the 362 rigs at work this time a year ago. New Mexico held at 107 rigs for the week. West Virginia, 1, joined Texas as the other producing state to see a decline, while Colorado, 1, was the only producing state to see an increase. The Permian Basin also dropped one rig to see 319 rigs across the region, 23 fewer than the 342 counted last year. The Eagle Ford led the decline among the major producing basins, dropping two rigs during the week. Lee County, New Mexico, continues to be the most active county in the Permian with 63 rigs, unchanged for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, is the second most active with 42 rigs, also unchanged for the week. Martin County held at 37 rigs for a second week. Midland County reported 28 rigs, down one. Loving County extended its winning streak to a third week, adding two rigs for 27 at work within county lines. Reeves County reported 25 rigs, down two for the week. Ward County had 17 rigs for a second week, while Glasscock County reported 12 rigs for a third week, and Reagan County 11 rigs for a third week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached as high as 697 during the week ended August 30th, a decrease of 6 rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is down 3% or 22 rigs in the last month and down 21% year over year. The U.S. count hit a pandemic low of less than 300 rigs in July 2020. Activity levels rose from that bottom through last October, when the rig recovery peaked at 897. As of August 30th, the count has dropped 200 rigs since the October peak. In the last week, one rig was added in the Anadarko Basin for a total of 48 running. The Permian dropped two rigs to 307. Other major basins dropped one rig each, leaving the Gulf Coast with 73. Appalachia with 42, the Williston Basin with 34, and the DJ Basin with 16. Life Tributes, William Edward Semmelbeck. Houston. William Edward Bill Semmelbeck, 96, of Houston, passed away August 20, 2023. Bill was born February 4, 1927, in Muskegee, Oklahoma, to Cletus and Marie Semmelbeck. He is preceded in death by his parents and his daughter, Nancy Lawless. He is survived by his wife of 71 years, Betty, son Mark, and wife, Roxy, of Houston, granddaughter Cherie Pope, and husband Nathan, with great-grandchildren Calvin and Scarlett of Houston, granddaughter Kelly Dowd of Amarillo, grandson Christopher Semmelbeck and wife Meredith, with great-granddaughter Margot of Dallas, and grandson Kevin Dowd of Amarillo. A memorial service beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. will be held Saturday, September 16, 2023, at Detling Funeral Home, 14094 Memorial Drive, Houston, Texas, 77079, with reception luncheon to follow. In honor of Bill's life, please consider a charitable donation to His Voice Global or West Texas A&M. Mary Lynn Carter. Mary Lynn Carter, 73, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, August 29, 2023. Services will be held at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
We We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.